Hello and welcome to a podcast extra brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and today we're taking a look at the mental health of a very specific subset of patients. Today we are talking about ourselves, the registered health professionals whose job it is to keep everyone else healthy. In recent years, you will have started to see physician burnout being mentioned more frequently. Once a topic mentioned under hushed breath is now more openly discussed. Here in New Zealand, the Medical Protection Society has introduced a workshop for its members entitled Building Resilience and Avoiding Burnout, and the latest edition of the Royal Australasian College of Physicians Quarterly reported that this year's College Congress contained presentations and discussions around physician well-being. It is without doubt a very important topic, and one that will only ever get addressed if we as a community start talking about how we feel and start to identify why our profession impacts on our own well-being more than other professions. It was hearing a talk earlier this year given at a TEDx event in Auckland that made me realise the importance of speaking up on this issue. Dr. Zeeshan Qureshi works in paediatrics in London, and his talk highlighted the many contributing factors to physician burnout within our healthcare systems. I got in contact with Zeeshan and he kindly agreed to talk with our podcast about this topic. Before we start, this talk touches on mental health issues affecting clinicians and does discuss suicide, so please be mindful of this before continuing to listen. So I'd like to welcome to the official podcast of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care, Dr. Zeeshan Qureshi. Zeeshan is joining us from London, and he is a paediatrician at the King's Hospital in London. He's also editor of the Unofficial Guide to Medicine, an award-winning textbook series. And I came across Zeeshan when I was browsing the TEDx talks from Auckland earlier in the year. And Zeeshan gave a very powerful talk, which will be linked in our show notes, on mental health of doctors and the effect that working conditions and the job in general can have on our own mental health. So I reached out to Zeeshan with an email to say, would he like to talk to us? And he very kindly said yes. So welcome to our podcast, Zeeshan, and thank you for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you.
Now, so your background is paediatrics, but what is it that got you aware of mental health issues and the issues of burnout and the like within medicine?
Yeah, it's a good question to start on. I mean, when I went into medicine, it was when I was 17, and I thought it was something that clever people did. It was the opportunity to understand complex science and to really help people. And I thought it was a bit of a no-brainer. You know, why wouldn't you do it? Medicine selected you. And it was a privilege to have had the opportunity to get involved. But even in medical school itself, I quickly realized that there was a darker side to it, something that people, certainly at that time, didn't really talk about, and that was the fact that there is a real mental health burden associated with doing what is an extremely difficult job. And I remember being a student and spending time with one of my friends who was having a lot of difficulty, and on the Thursday I was in her room in halls having dinner. I went away for the weekend, and when I came back, she'd killed herself. And I couldn't understand what had happened, why she'd done it, but it had happened. There was nothing I could do to stop it. And then I started looking into it, and actually, even within medical school, there was a mental health burden that emerged with medical students having a lower than average mental health burden before starting medical school and it going up during medical school. And there was a whole series of factors that contributed to it. And I knew that there was nothing I could do to help my friend Kerry come back to life. But I did know that if I got involved in the field and I started talking about the problem, maybe I could stop other people suffering and put potentially things in place to reduce the risk of that, both for medical students and for doctors.
And one of the things I remember from your talk was when you mentioned the statistics relating to suicide within the medical profession, and it's double the rate of the rest of the population. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think there's a higher incidence of depression, of anxiety, of post-traumatic stress disorder, of substance abuse, alcohol dependence. But suicide is something you really can't argue with and something that is incredibly alarming. Double the rate of the general population and women up to five times as much. And, you know, if you had a drug that increased suicide rates to that degree, it'd be taken off the market pending urgent investigation. And yet, whenever I mention these kind of statistics to even doctors in the field, often they're completely shocked and completely unaware that the system they're in has become for many such a toxic environment to their own well-being.
So you mentioned the system. What are the features of the system that are contributing to that sort of figure? What's causing this?
I think that in the first place, we have to understand that medicine in and of itself is always going to be a challenging environment. Most of us will never see a baby die in their lifetime, for example. And I've had shifts where two babies have tragically died. Now, if you had your own, if you lost your own child, and I don't wish that upon anybody, but are you going to be going back to work the next day, the next week, the next month, even ever? Probably not. But after that day that I lost those two babies, I had six further night shifts to deal with. And if you take on top of that the more regular burdens with regard to dealing with things like child abuse, we're dealing with any kind of serious illness, we're dealing with anxieties and stresses of families and patients, that's a very difficult thing to be able to do. If you factor in on top of that, that medicine in the UK and in New Zealand and really across the world has become more and more busy, and staffing is being pushed to smaller and smaller numbers relative to the workload, and patients are expecting more and more of us, then we're having to do far more work in less time with less support. And the support element is really crucial, because there are hospitals whereby burnout rates in medicine aren't very different to that of the general population. There was a study in Holland of over 1,000 medical doctors which had a 15% rate of burnout reported compared to 14% in the general population. What is crucial is that those hospitals recognise the challenge that's put in place for doctors and their well-being, and they put in place systems to protect their staff against this predictable burden.
And it's one of the reasons I was struck by your talk on the TEDx was that you are kind of putting your head out above the parapet there and saying, you know, identifying the problem. Do you feel that there is a culture within medicine whereby people don't want to speak up? And if so, why are people reluctant to say, you know, we're overworked here, or, you know, there's too much going on here?
It's an important question, because it's very sad for trainers to lose their colleagues to suicide. And it's even sadder if they are doing what they can to ask people to come forward and people aren't coming forward. And one of my colleagues put it really well a few weeks ago. He said to me, Zeeshan, you could be having the worst problem in the world. In your head, it's the worst thing ever. But if we don't know about it, and if no one knows about it, there's nothing we can do to help you. And there's a culture amongst doctors, first, of denial, to say that there isn't anything wrong. Second, of feeling like you can manage it yourself, i.e. this is just something that's going to go away. I'm just going to adjust a few things in my own kind of lifestyle. I'm just going to get through it. There's nothing to worry about. And then thirdly, and I suppose this is more problematic, a worry that if you do talk about it, it's going to make things worse rather than better. Because who are you going to talk to? You're going to talk to people that your colleagues from medical school, people that work in your hospital, people that will be seeing you, that might be employing you in the future, and that might be a tarnish against your professional career in the future. And it makes it really difficult. You can't easily screen people for mental health problems if they're not going to be honest in how they answer. But the consequence of that is that you have cases of people like my friend Kerry who commit suicide with their friends thinking they're completely well. You have people presenting to psychiatrists, not with depression, but with psychotic depression. And late presentations of depression are far more common amongst doctors than they are around the general population. And so what's the solution? It's about really trying to make, one, an environment supportive for people talking about mental health problems. And, I have no qualms in saying that I've admitted to having difficulty managing, and I've got support, and that support has helped me get through those problems. And about making that process easy to access and making it anonymous. And in the UK, there's a service called the Practitioners Health Programme. They are available confidentially for doctors who can phone in independent of their hospital and their GP, get an appointment with a therapist, talk through their issues, and the records stay independent of the hospitals they work in and of their GP practice, unless something needs to be discussed. And those kind of systems, that Practitioners Health Programme, over 2,000 people have gone to see it. They were so inundated with referrals that they had to close their doors to new referrals for 6 weeks. And they've now just released a 24/7 tech support help service, so that, again, that anonymity and ease of access can be overcome, and people can seek help when they need help, so that people are able to support them how they need to be.
And certainly here in New Zealand, the Medical Assurance Society and the MPS have a free counselling service that doctors can contact, and the New Zealand Medical Association has a page with all of the position statements of the different colleges on. So I'll link to that in the show notes for our New Zealand listeners. But so it's quite striking that an anonymous service in the UK got flooded with calls. So that really does indicate a kind of an iceberg of problems underneath the surface there, of people not owning up to the feeling under pressure. And if people are feeling burnt out, what are the features of doctor burnout? What sort of things would people maybe notice in themselves when that was happening?
A lot of people just very intuitively feel burnt out, and they say they're burnt out to me. And if you listen to your body and feel what it says, and I think you'll know. But the kind of core triad that people talk about is, one, exhaustion and fatigue; two, ineffectiveness, feeling like you're not able to accomplish stuff; and then thirdly, cynicism and detachment from the job. And when you're experiencing this, don't get me wrong, it's a very difficult thing for you on a personal level, but actually burnt out doctors do not make good doctors, and there's a clear association between being burnt out and decreased quality of patient care, increased patient safety instances, increased costs of care, reduced professionalism. And so really it's something that the hospitals need to look out for, not just from a kind of moral perspective for the well-being of individual doctors, but also in terms of being able to provide a safe, high quality service to the patients attending the hospitals.
So it is, there's a personal responsibility, I guess, but what you're saying is there's also the employers, the hospitals, the clinics, the people employing the doctors to do the job that we do have got to be aware of the systems that they put in place that can affect our mental well-being, as well as create systems to help us.
Yeah, it's twofold. It's reducing the factors that contribute to a mental health strain on staff, and then creating systems to support staff when there is a problem at the earliest possible stage. And it's entirely predictable, this pathway from entering into medicine, developing burnout, which can be up to 2/3 of the population, according to a study in the UK of the Royal College of Anaesthetists, and then being burnt out and that having a negative effect on the individual doctor's well-being and a negative effect on the quality of service being provided. And now that we know that model, it is incumbent on the hospitals to improve the environment to reduce the risk of doctors moving down that pathway.
I like the analogy with the airline industry, where you're told when you get on an aeroplane, in the case of emergency, put your own mask on first. The idea being that if you're incapacitated, you can't help anybody else. And as doctors, if we're not well, we shouldn't be treating patients. And if you are saying that burnout is associated with poorer patient care, ultimately the whole reason we go to work is to care for patients, then it, you know, it's imperative that we make sure that we are in as best condition as possible, and that goes to the employers as well. I guess there is a certain competitiveness, though, in medicine, and there always has been, in terms of people competing for the best jobs or the perceived best jobs. And that culture definitely leads people to maybe bury things a little bit within themselves. You know, if they're feeling the strain of the job, they might look at their colleague and think, well, then they're doing okay. I don't want to be seen to be different with them, because we're competing for the same job on the same ladder, going up this hierarchy. That contributes to this as well, doesn't it? That competitiveness between us all.
It definitely does. And I think we have to be pragmatic and conscious of how people feel. But then equally, maybe we should just be honest with how people genuinely see these kind of issues. I mean, when one of my colleagues said to me, you just have to turn your emotions off at work and then you can get through it, I associate that with naivety rather than strength, and I associate that with detachment, with being human. Whereas when I hear from somebody who says, I had a severe doubt of depression, I took a few weeks off work, I got counselling services, I became stronger and more resilient, these are my strategies for dealing with difficulties at work. Now, as I go up the ranks and take on new burdens, I'm more conscious of the fact that there might potentially be a problem, but I think about it in advance. I speak to my colleagues about it so that I can make sure strategies are in place. I see that as a much wiser, more mature colleague. But I mean, if you take the extreme example, somebody who is severely depressed, that has suicidal thoughts, that is really worried about doing what's best for their patients. In that situation, okay, it's clear that you probably aren't going to get a job over one of your colleagues at that point, but why try and cover up the fact that the quality of care you can offer is lower than that of your colleague? And more importantly, that why neglect your own health when actually getting that job could be awful for you, because you'd have an immense psychological strain of then performing a new job? Why not be honest about it, get the therapy you require, take a break, and then come back stronger and more able to face a very complex system and be able to show everybody that you've managed to overcome it?
It is interesting, isn't it, that we might see a lawyer or an accountant or, you know, somebody in a high pressure job outside of medicine as our patient, and we would say the exact things that you said before about somebody burning out. You would give them time off work, you would recommend counseling, they might consider medication. You would go through all of those things, and then you would get them to a position where they can return to work and meet the challenges and continue their career. So we would tell people that, but then we seem to think it doesn't apply to doctors. We seem to, there seems to be that unwillingness to address ourselves the same way. The physician, heal thyself. It's a difficult thing maybe to own up to, particularly if you go and sit across from a similarly trained person and open up about, you know, you might be happy to go and say, oh, I've got a tonsillitis, but to open the mental health side of things is difficult. But it's important to know the person at the other end of this conversation would understand you and is bound by the same confidentiality rules that we all give to our patients. So we shouldn't be reluctant to seek help, should we?
And I think, you know, we do get given this complex at medical school and beyond that perhaps isn't healthy. I mean, you know, when I started medical school at Southampton University in the UK, I was told, you're the best of the best, the brightest of the bright, you're heading to the top echelons of society, enjoy it. And then throughout medical school, you're ingrained in this mindset of being the healer, not the sufferer. And a lot of mental health problems are framed around making poor life decisions or not coping very well, and actually being things that should be fixable if you're a functional human being. And actually that's not what mental health problems are. Like, sometimes you have them, and as we all know, there isn't a obvious societal environmental trigger for it. But then if you are in medicine, you've got a very clear massive environmental trigger that even the most resilient person in the world won't necessarily be able to overcome, particularly when you're in a unsupportive environment, which unfortunately exists in lots of places still.
So I mentioned before that hearing you talk about it was refreshing and seemed to be maybe part of a change in certainly newer doctors coming through the system, because I know I certainly heard a lot from the consultants when I was at medical school saying, well, in my day we did, you know, Friday morning to Monday evening nonstop, never slept, and it didn't do us any harm. There was that attitude kind of filtered down, but there maybe is a bit of a sea change with people willing to draw attention to these this topic. So how would you see things changing going forwards? How do you feel that we actually make a difference and start creating the systems and the environment that we need?
I think one thing that all of us have control over is ourselves and how we personally deal with challenges. And for me, I think it's important, you know, when you start a new job, maybe to try and visit that hospital in advance to understand what your work is going to involve, how you can best prepare for it, and what the likely problems are that are going to come up, and then make sure you have strategies in place to deal with them, and you know what support services are available. And that element of personal resilience and self-management is really important, but I think the much bigger picture is influencing politics and influencing working conditions from a higher level. And we see this kind of sea change in lots of different aspects of society. I mean, all the climate change discussion now, it shifted from saying everyone should go vegan and not fly to actually we need to pressure governments, we need to change things on a political level. And I know that there are doctor strikes currently going on in New Zealand, and the question then is, you know, what do we ask of our hospitals and of our governments? There was one study in Holland which I found really interesting that looked at learning environments and risk of burnout, and it was over 1,000 responding doctors across 33 specialties. 15% of them were burnt out, and what was really interesting was that every point increase in learning environment score led to a halving of the burnout rate, and that more broadly speaking across other studies, things that improved the learning environment were way more important, and things that improved the system were way more important than things that improved personal resilience. So having a system whereby people feel like they are supported, they are trained, they have a degree of autonomy, they are able to practice effective medicine, they're able to have good relationships with the staff around them, is something that needs to be promoted. Making sure that we aren't overburdened and overworked, having lower thresholds to bring in locum doctors to reduce service provision, which is a very difficult thing for us to do as doctors, but you know, we can't just have the system of we're three doctors short on the rota, let's just get our one doctor to cover all four and hope for the best. Having those higher level decisions to make burnout and mental health problems less likely and predictably less likely is ultimately what we should be pushing for. And that involves influencing leaders of hospitals and leaders of governments. I've seen those transformations happen in so many places, and we're making a lot of really good progress. For example, in the UK, there's a whole system now of exception reporting, whereby if you are staying late, and in my hospitals, they're saying very clearly, even if it's 10 minutes late, or if you had a 10 minute gap in your, a 10 minute cut in your lunch break, or if you had a 10 minute cut in your teaching sessions, then you can self-report that you have had to work beyond your hours. You're entitled to get paid back for it or to get time back in lieu. And if it happens a lot to a lot of people, then the rota would have to be potentially redesigned. Extra staffing would need to be brought in because there's objective evidence of there being a problem. So we and other units that I know about, the paediatric intensive care unit at Great Ormond Street, you know, they had an awful situation whereby one of the trainees committed suicide in the toilets, and Joe Briley, one of the consultants there, really like took it upon himself to try and improve the culture. He set up a pastoral tutor system, a person that was him that people could go to for support. Nothing was written down, but it was any kind of support in any aspect of people's life. He helped push forward for psychotherapists to be regularly available to all doctors in the unit to support them when there's a problem. And we just need to see and push for more of these kind of things to support doctors in what is a job that ultimately is very satisfying and is something that I really value doing, but which I want to do in a system which has the support to deal with the inevitable mental health problem is associated with.
Yeah, because we all do the job for our own reasons, but ultimately it is for the care of sick and ill and injured patients, and making them better is hugely rewarding. And I was interested by what you said about how doctors who are suffering from burnout don't get the job satisfaction. You know, you start to be a little bit more cynical about your work, and we all want to enjoy our job and leave feeling satisfied. So as you look at things going forward in your career as a paediatrician, you're still in the right job? Would you say you're still happy with your career choices?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I we had a child come into A&E with a GCS of 3 with a severe asthma attack, but I had the tools and the training to know what to do. We put lines in, we gave bronchodilators and steroids, so intubated, and within 3 days via intensive care, this kid was running around and back to his normal self. And the immense satisfaction of knowing that kids can get so much better in front of you, and that you can provide a service that means that somebody that would otherwise have died is now living potentially a normal life expectancy, is amazing. And there's so many other really big wins and positives on a day-to-day basis that fill me with joy from doing pediatrics. But you know, no matter how brilliant the job is, you're not going to appreciate it if you don't look after yourself. And so I'm very happy that this issue of well-being and burnout is being discussed, not just amongst the people that are kind of big decision makers, but also amongst doctors doing the job day in and day out, and changes being made to shift our job from the burnout to the joy. It's not quite enough yet, but I am really hopeful that things will continue to change and medicine can really become that job that is truly the envy of the rest of the world, and can bring joy to all of our days.
And we should encourage all those medical students and junior doctors starting out on this great journey of medicine to realize that they have it in themselves to make these changes and push for them and get that balance right, so we can have a job that we all enjoy and get so much out of, and not have to give so much of ourselves to it as well. So as I said at the beginning, I think hearing you talk about it on that TED talk was refreshing, and I'll put the link and I'd encourage everybody to watch it, and also follow the links to the NZMA page. It's important that we say this, but all doctors should have a registered GP. We shouldn't be without an independent medical practitioner to look after our own health, and we shouldn't take it upon ourselves to look after ourselves. And so that's very important. And for anybody listening who has identified in themselves difficulties, then there are links here for the New Zealand, and I might put the links to the site that you mentioned in the UK as well, because we do have people listening from there. But thank you, Zeeshan, for speaking up. I mean, you are a paediatrician. This isn't your area of specialty, mental health, but you've taken it upon yourself to start making some noise around this and raise some awareness. And so I think that's a great thing that you're doing, and I hope more people do it, and we make see everything change for the positive. So thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, thank you. Appreciate talking to you.
My thanks to Zeeshan for talking with our podcast. Talking about issues of mental health and burnout amongst the medical community is vital if we're going to destigmatise the condition and start making our working environment one that allows us to deliver the very best healthcare without adversely affecting our own health. As well as links to Zeeshan's TEDx talk and his website, I also link in the show notes to the NZMA page detailing avenues of assistance for doctors here in New Zealand, as well as the BMA equivalent in the UK. If you have found yourself identifying personal symptoms of burnout, please seek help. As mentioned before, it is important that we all have a registered GP and feel comfortable with that doctor to attend them with all our health needs, including our mental health. I hope that hearing what Zeeshan has to say on this subject helps us all to be more aware of the topic of physician burnout, how important it is to take it seriously, and that opening up, seeking help, and talking about it will help to make all our jobs, whatever specialty you work in, better for us and ultimately enable us to provide the best possible care to our patients. Thanks for listening.